This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. I'm sitting here in Studio 3 for the show today, and I admit that I am wondering how long it'll take to get home tonight. Thanksgiving travel this year, expected to approach pre-pandemic levels. That's on top of daily commutes just shy of 2019 volumes, according to Highway Administrator Jonathan Gulliver. So in a moment, we will take your calls. If you are out there stuck in traffic today, does it feel like 2019? And what would need to change for you to ditch your car in favor of other ways of getting around? What would that change look like? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. First, though, we want to touch down at Logan Airport. The TSA expects passenger levels to hit about 88% of pre-pandemic numbers, and Logan expects almost 1 million people, or nearly so. We caught up a little earlier this afternoon with Ed Frenney, Director of Aviation at Massport, to hear what Logan's seeing right now.
So we are relatively busy. We are seeing the numbers strong as we expected. But when you compare to what we did in 2019, we're still down about 28% in the passenger side of the business. So over a 10-day period from last Friday, it's November 19th, through this coming Monday, November 29th, we expect to handle over 800,000 to 900,000 passengers in and out of Logan.
So that's down near still 30% from 2019. I'm wondering, you know, are the airlines and the airport ready to handle 2019-level traffic? We're aware of flight cancellations last month from Southwest and American. We know there are staffing shortages in a lot of industries.
Well, you asked about the airport. I think I can speak for the airport, and I can comment on the airlines. So the airport, we are ready. You know, we're nowhere near our capacity, and we're handling these numbers very, very manageably. TSA is well-staffed. We're well-staffed, and Mother Nature's complying, so that's been, really helpful. As far as the airlines are concerned, usually what we've seen in the past few months is they've struggled with in-flight staffing at the end of the month. So fortunately, the commitment to their schedule here at Logan, they've been able to staff properly, and we hope that continues right through the end of the month into December.
How's traffic getting in and out of the airport right now, Ed?
There is some construction on the roadways, so we would encourage people that have not been here in a while to go on our flylogan.com app, where you can take a look and see, you know, what the roadway conditions are. There are some detours, but as far as the traffic flow, it's been very smooth. There are periods during the early morning hours where it gets a little bit heavier, and then later on in the afternoon it gets heavy, but it's manageable.
So for some people headed to the airport, it could be the first time in more than a year and a half. What do they need to know before they show up and board?
Well, again, they could navigate their trip before they leave their home and go on the flylogan.com app, and you can find out a little bit more about the terminal you're going to, how to get there, what to expect when you get into the terminal. You can order food. You can also make a reservation to park here at the airport in advance when you go on the app. So there's a lot of real good, solid information that would help you if you haven't been here for a while.
What if people have forgotten, do I have to take my shoes off? Where do I put my mask on? What can I take through security? I remember the first time I got back on a flight after the start of the pandemic, there was a lot I just didn't remember, Ed.
Those are all TSA requirements, and you can get on their site, and the TSA.gov, I think it is. Things have changed as far as there's a lot of touchless opportunities now. Be prepared with your identification when you go through. Be prepared for what you might not be able to take or what you are taking. Put in your carry-on bag, and that will help the process. And believe me, I think, you know, we've seen the TSA has really stepped up their game over the last week or so, and through the period where we saw the numbers come back, and have done a great job. We have our own personnel out there trying to help people. So we'll assist in any way we can to make it a smooth transition through the process onto their flight.
And masks on at the airport, right, Ed?
It's a federal requirement to wear the mask when you get into the terminal, and it's also a federal requirement to have the mask on when you're in flight.
So by the end of August, the FAA had reported almost 4,000 reports of unruly behavior. What measures are in place at Logan to keep employees and passengers safe? Almost 3,000 of those reports were around refusing to comply with the mask mandate.
We have not seen that level of noncompliance. We've seen people come in here with masks. We're prepared to give them masks if they don't have them. So we haven't had it in the terminals, but we've had a number of times where we've responded to inbound airplanes, and you know, when the state police show up, everybody complies.
Any other advice for people traveling to or through Logan this weekend?
I think take a little bit more extra time, be patient, and it should be a real smooth situation for you.
Ed Frenney is Director of Aviation for Massport. Ed, thanks so much. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Take care.
That's Thanksgiving at Logan, so let's talk about our roads now. And we are taking your calls. If you're out there stuck in traffic today, does it feel like 2019 again? How about on a normal work day? And what would need to change for you to ditch your car in favor of other ways of getting around? What would that change look like? 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And please, if you do decide to call us from your car, make sure you are doing so hands-free. With us to talk about solutions, Jim Aloisi, a former Massachusetts Secretary of Transportation and a board member of the group Transit Matters, which advocates for better, more reliable public transit, and Josh Ostroff, Interim Director of Transportation for Massachusetts, a nonprofit coalition dedicated to improving transportation across the Commonwealth. Jim, welcome back.
Thank you for having me back.
Josh, thanks for joining us.
So great to be here.
So, Jim, before the pandemic, traffic in Boston was, by some measures, worst in the nation. Certainly, we rank. If we're 93% of the way back to 2019 levels, that is a crisis. And I wonder, and Josh, I may come to you with this same question. Jim, what lessons did we fail to learn about traffic and transportation from the pandemic?
Well, it doesn't seem today that we learned many lessons well at all. The return of chronic traffic congestion is no surprise. And beyond the point of this being Thanksgiving holiday, everyone who drives in Metro Boston knows, if you have been driving, that congestion has returned. It's returned with a vengeance. And the patterns are even growing. So the time for congestion, traffic congestion, is extending in different times a day and in different places. We know that we need to invest in a better public transportation system so that some of those people, not all of them, but 10%, 15% of the people who really feel like they have no choice but to drive, would have a viable alternative on commuter rail or on the transit system, right? And so folks like me keep beating the drum, which is to say, if you really want to reduce traffic congestion, if you want to improve people's driving experience, you need to make a coordinated investment, stepping up that investment in public transportation. You need to provide people with better frequencies of service. You need to provide people with better, more reliable equipment. And you need to provide people with the connections that they make. It's so bad, Tatiana, that, and I like Ed, I know, I've known Ed Frenney for years. He's a very capable guy. It's not even in Massport's lexicon to talk about getting to Logan by public transportation, even though you can get there on the Blue Line and you can get there using the Silver Line. But no one thinks about it when it comes to state agencies asking people, how do you get here, right? It's all about the automobile. And unless that mentality changes, we're going to be stuck in the same old groundhog day of wringing our hands about traffic congestion while we know we have the solutions, but we're not doing what we need to do to make those things happen.
So, Josh, your organization represents a wide range of transportation-focused nonprofits and coalitions, et cetera. You know, as we've talked with Jim today and in the past, the emphasis is we got to just get cars off the road. There's nothing to do to the road that would reduce traffic. And we've heard that from a lot of experts. I want to check in with you. Is it about transit? Is it about alternate modes? Is there any investment we could or should be making to our vehicle infrastructure?
Well, thanks for those questions, and it's great to be on the line with Jim. Long time no see. Look forward to getting together in person. And to your listeners, I hope that they all have a great Thanksgiving holiday and get wherever they're going safely, or curl up on the couch with Netflix if that's their choice. So I think that one of the things we have learned from the pandemic is to more assertively rethink what public streets mean. And I just want to reflect for a second on an initiative at Mass DOT in many cities and towns, the Shared Streets and Spaces program, which provided money for quick build, quick turnaround projects to allow more creative uses of our public roads when fewer people were driving, but restaurants were struggling. We were able to provide outdoor seating or places for public art, you know, parklets and so on. And we were able to see that people actually do value roads for more than just a place to put your car, whether it's storing your car as a private parking space or you know, driving alone to work. So the potential is there. And then just recently, another leap forward with bus lanes, dedicated bus lanes in the city of Boston. All throughout the region, we've seen these bus and bike lanes spring up in the past couple of years, really fueled by cities and towns. But even MassDOT has gotten into it with a dedicated lane on the Tobin Bridge for buses, serving people who are the most transit dependent. So I believe these are solvable problems that, in addition to public transit incentives, we need better management of our public roads in order to move more people instead of just moving more cars. So our coalition really tries to focus on what human needs are and not just about moving someone's individual car, but a busload of people that could take 50 cars off the road.
Fair point. 800-423-8255. Rebecca in Sturbridge is on the line. Rebecca, go ahead.
Yes. Hi. I heard you asking about the traffic levels right now, and they are absolutely atrocious coming from the Boston area. I was working in Norwood today, and on the way home, it took me well over almost 3 hours to get home, and it usually takes about an hour. So I would definitely say there's a lot more travel than there was in the past couple of years, since 2019. I don't usually see this on your average day.
So, Rebecca,
you know, or even holidays.
So two things. One, kudos to you for the cheery voice, despite what you just went through. And two, what would it take for you to ditch your car and get home a different way? What would need to be there?
Well, that's the thing. I live in a very cute little village that has no option for public transportation, and it's pretty much impossible to even get an Uber out there. So for me, I don't really have an option for public transportation. They would have to, Massachusetts would have to put public transportation in rural areas.
All right. Thank you,
for
Rebecca.
That to work.
Thank you so much. And thanks for the call. I'm going to grab Adam in Cambridge, too. Adam, go ahead.
Hi. I'm actually in traffic, and I would say it's worse than it was back in 2019. I'm going a direction I've never even gone before, thanks to Waze. The traffic's been horrible.
Adam, thanks for telling us that. I'm sorry about it. And I'm also struck by you talking about Waze, which really, 10 years ago when we were having traffic conversations, that wasn't even a part of it. We do, Jim Aloisi, have some new ways to kind of help us dodge traffic. But I'm particularly struck by what Rebecca was saying out in, you know, the western part of the state, where there's just zero alternative infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about the $9 billion coming. In the infrastructure bill, does it have actual promise? I mean, obviously, always $9 billion has promise, but actual promise for changes here?
Well, for Rebecca, who, you know, she describes she lives in a cute little village somewhere where she can't get an Uber, for folks like that, they've made a decision about where they want to live that requires them to drive, right? We there's very little that you can do that would pass any cost-benefit analysis to provide someone like her with the kind of public transportation alternatives that would help a larger number of people. But Adam from Cambridge, now, that's different, right? Cambridge, you've got the Red Line. Cambridge, you've got many bus lines. Cambridge, you've got really nicely protected cycling lanes. So if depending on where you live, the options to drive or not to drive become very quickly apparent. And what folks like me are saying is that hopefully with the new stepped up federal money, and there'll be about $2.5 billion over the next 5 years in additional capital funding for public transportation in Massachusetts, is that we can provide people with dedicated bus lanes. We can provide people with more frequent service on a regional rail system. We can provide people with electric locomotives rather than dirty, slow diesels. We can provide people with clean electric bus and find ways to move 10, 15% of people who may be driving to transit. You're not going to ever want to move 50 or 100% of the drivers to transit because no system can handle it, right? The goal ought to be to make driving easier for people who have to drive by moving more people from driving who can take public transit to transit. That's what we need to be focused on in Massachusetts.
Josh, does the legislature have that goal? I mean, the framing that Jim just gave us is very clean and addresses both Adam and Rebecca. What about our legislature? You know, I'm mindful of Shirley Leung's piece in the Boston Globe this week, criticizing them for going to recess without figuring out how to spend $4.5 billion in pandemic relief funds, which are supposed to address an emergency. Is there shared vision for the kind of solutions Jim's laying out?
Well, I try to keep my expectations in check with the legislature. And I think while they do work hard, we don't always see the benefit of that labor. The state Senate just did an extensive
process. I'm
sorry,
that was so diplomatic. Can we all just take a second to chuckle over the diplomacy of that line? All right, sorry, go ahead.
Thank you. Well, I do care deeply for my friends in the legislature, but I would say, as a case in point, they just spent several months in the state Senate side of the building with a Reimagining Massachusetts report. We said after it was published and continue to be concerned that that needs to find its way into legislation. It was nowhere to be seen in the billions of dollars on spending ARPA. I want to point out, though, I don't think the legislature will have an extensive role in how we spend this new federal funding. Most of that is going to come through separate funding streams that are done by metropolitan planning organizations in Boston, Springfield, elsewhere around the state. And then some will be subject to competitive grants. I want to pick up on one thing that Jim said with dedicated bus lane for Rebecca from Sturbridge. The idea that we actually don't have a dedicated bus lane on the Mass Pike is sending a signal. And we send these signals all the time to motorists, keep driving. And what we have now with congestion on our roads, whether it's our highways going across the state or city streets, we seem to be sending signals to people to drive by what we charge people to drive, to use a scarce resource such as a public street, what we charge them for gas tax compared to the cost of public transportation. This message we're sending is the wrong one. And it really comes home when we talk about climate impacts and public health.
Yeah, let's pick up on that. Sorry.
Sure.
So to you, Josh, I'll let you finish your sentence and we'll go to Jim. Public health and equity. Right? What we need to do for equity. Go ahead.
Right. So I think that we are not giving people the right message if we are serious about reducing carbon emissions. And the state has set very high goals, but we aren't doing enough to achieve them through carbon emissions reduction from the transportation sector, which is the largest source of carbon emissions and tailpipe pollution, which impacts people who have the misfortune of living and working next to congested highways, so they bear the burden of transportation emissions and aren't able to participate in the economic recovery as much as we would like. So that's a concern for our coalition. I'm sure Jim shares this. I've heard him talk about it many times.
Yep, Jim, we've got about a minute left, so just a couple thoughts there.
Well, it'll be a piece that I just wrote for Commonwealth Magazine. I expect it'll be out next week where I talk about this issue. And Massachusetts does not have a credible plan at this point, remarkably, to reduce carbon emissions from the transportation sector. Our state plan, if you can believe it, basically wants to put everybody in an electric vehicle by the year 2050. I don't know that that's realistic or achievable, but even if it were to be, there's nothing in the plan that deals with some of the equity issues that are involved, right? People who can't afford to buy a car. People who live in places like East Boston with triple deckers who don't have driveways or garages to park a car and charge it in. We've got a long way to go in Massachusetts to bring decarbonization equity to the forefront. And I'm looking forward to having that debate in a robust way in the new year.
Oh, let's do that. All right. That is Jim Aloisi, former Massachusetts Secretary of Transportation and a board member of the group Transit Matters. Jim, thanks.
Thank you.
And Josh Ostroff, Interim Director of Transportation for Massachusetts, a nonprofit coalition. Josh, thank you to you too.
Always glad to be here. Thank you so much.